All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
I don't know, man.
Oh.
So like normally when we do these, I look at the subject matter of the game and try and extrapolate. Just, I got nothing. I just.
This is a real hard nut to crack.
I just know that if we could just lay on this for a second, it would come to fruition, right?
Yeah, I mean it's hard because I mean we'll do pretty much anything in these things because there's that saying, you know, you can't make an omelet without adding a little sausage to the thing, and we're willing to see how the sausage is made and grind it up to come up with these randomizations, but like this game, it's really hard.
Yeah, I have no energy to shell out towards this.
Yeah, I mean, if only we could cast off this yoke and just you know, just kind of go forward without coming up with a randomization method. Like we could just announce the game.
Yeah, like in a real succinct kind of way, you know, that isn't like, you know, just like a full, you know, albumen length you know, song of this song and dance, right?
But this is just going to go on for a dozen minutes.
I don't know. Like,
hey, well, let's give up. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. This is the end of the show, guys. You know, yeah,
well, this is the end of the intro.
Okay, cool.
We'll just say the name of it.
Okay.
It's The Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy.
Dizzy, yeah.
Dizzy. Well, fuck.
Well, let me look at the Wikipedia page here and pull up an image of this. I played it before. Oh, he's a rock.
Oh, cool! We could do a whole archaeology thing.
Yeah, like we're cracking, counting the rings inside, like he's some kind of rock tree.
Dizzy, I'm gonna fucking carbon date you.
Threatening and sexual.
I'm gonna carbon date you, Dizzy. Me and you. We're gonna get down.
We're gonna make history.
We're gonna make history, Dizzy. Your history, Euro game.
He is wearing a pith helmet like an archaeologist would.
He is. And he is the UK's number one video game hero.
Yeah.
Who are you?
My name's Cole Ross.
And I'm Gary Butterfield. This Abject Suffering.
Where we play bad games that you suggest. Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. Yeah, Dizzy.
Dizzy. This is possibly the most quaint, like stereotypically quaint Euro creation I think we've played.
There's a couple of different kinds of like Euro games. Like, and I feel like in this last year is when I became aware of like, oh, like Europeans had platformers different than us. Yeah. Like a mom like explaining it to me, but I'm just like, you know, yeah. Like, no, don't make fun. They didn't have Mario and Sonic. They had the Gianna sisters.
They had the Gianna sisters. That's the same tone that like a parent would take to explain why the poor kids down the street that like just like can't go see the movie with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but why can't Billy come to Chuck E. Cheese? Well, Billy's mom, you know, can't afford it. Well, I'm sorry, but our neighbors in Europe didn't have jump physics.
They pressed A and nothing happened. They didn't know what to do. It was
there are three. There are isometric games about collecting assets, mm-hmm. rarer games about just collecting assets that randomly appeared, and then for some reason Dizzy, and whatever Dizzy is,
yeah,
like this is a weird game.
Collecting a whole bunch of one asset.
Well, there's that. So it's like it's a platformer. Mm-hmm. It's a collecting game and an adventure game, an adventure puzzle game with an inventory system and stuff. it's super bizarre.
A crazy inventory system that is basically like an introduction to first in, first out sorting.
Yeah.
And like computer science, like just pop this down in front of a CompSci 101 class.
Yeah, it shouldn't have. It doesn't make any, you know, it's really unfriendly. Like it shouldn't be on the NES.
No.
Like a game with two buttons and not doing this through a menu is really bad.
At least the Raiders of the Lost Ark game on the Atari had the sensibility to use two controllers.
Yeah, yeah. Which like, I don't know if this would have made that.
No, it would have made it worse. Far worse.
Way harder. And I'm not like, listen, a whole village full of cute eggs called the Yolk Folk.
Yeah, come on.
Like, sign me up. Like I'm fine with the Yolk Folk.
I'm not made of stone like Dizzy is.
Yeah, like all of them. Dizzy, Daisy, Denzel, Dora, Dozy, Dylan, Grand Izzy, and Danny, all the Oak folk. Like, I'm into every single one of them.
Yeah. Even the villain Zax.
Yeah. Yeah. What is Zax? What's the opposite of an egg? A sperm?
Yeah.
Like, is Zax a sperm?
I look at it as a frying pan, I think.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Prince Clumsy, which is a terrible thing to be when you're an egg.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you've killed everyone.
Yeah.
You've done it again, you idiot.
You've done it. You've doomed us all. Yeah, shame as the leprechaun. Shame on you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Oh, well. Is
this your first experience with Dizzy?
Yes, it is, although it is very similar. And even Wikipedia calls it out to my favorite bad game to rag on, which is Pugsy.
The Addams Family?
No. You know
about, that's Pugsley?
That's Pugsley, yes.
Okay, what's Pugsy?
Yeah, Pugsy is it's a game that was developed by Psygnosis, I believe on whatever, like, moon computers people in Europe use. I got it on Genesis, and it's very similar. Like, you're picking up assets after the asset factory explosion, you know, after it ruined the Crick, and you're trying to rebuild pieces of your spaceship. However, this had a trespasser-like physics system in a side scroller, so the height at which you held the items mattered, and there was no indication of what you needed to pick up and take where in order to solve these puzzles. It's crazy. Like, I may put my thumb on the scale and, like, put this in the rotation. Like,
that's really weird.
Yeah,
I would be down
if we decide to do like us inflict a game on each other kind of thing.
No, that would be fun.
Yeah, so that would be my choice. But yeah,
I would be into that. I could come up with something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
it's very similar to that insofar as it's inscrutable what it is asking you to do, and everything is just kind of existing in this weird kind of horrifically placid state of just nothingness.
Right? Yeah.
Like, nothing really happens in this. There are dogs that run back and forth, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's not and that's every Dizzy game I played. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, this is the third Dizzy game I played.
That is really weird, Gary.
Yeah, and I didn't mention that I'm British. The St. Tom. The reason why I had played Dizzy games, and I don't know if we talked about this, but I might do this if I were going to inflict on things, is that as a kid, I was lucky enough to own two of the Quattro carts. Do you know about these?
I mean, do they have four games on them?
Yes.
Okay.
They're done by Codemasters. They were like special, specially shaped carts that had a little switch on the back. I couldn't figure out what it did. Each one had four games of a single genre on them. And Quattro Adventure had Treasure Island Dizzy on it. And since I was a kid and was kind of held hostage, like, I, you know, played a lot of Treasure Island Dizzy.
Yeah.
Like, got pretty far, and I never beat it, but I got really far in Treasure Island Dizzy.
Games in one.
It is four games in one, but all this was the second best game there.
What was the best game? Kind
of, Linus Spacehead.
Was that a Peanuts game?
No, it's like a little space, like, agility game, like, about jumping on bubbles to get higher.
It's like Doodle Jump.
Yeah, a little bit like that, except like platformy controls.
Yeah.
Then there was Boomerang Kid and Super Robin Hood, which were the other two, and neither of those had very much going for them.
Boomerang Kid sounds like a pretty promising premise.
You'd think so. It's pretty bad, though.
There was a period of time when I was very fascinated with the boomerang as a concept.
There's a How Stuff Works, or Stuff You Should Know About It.
Yes, I listened to it with glee.
Yeah, because it is an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you were young, did you ever take, like, vaguely Y-shaped sticks and throw them, and then being mad that they wouldn't come back?
Just in the hope. Yeah, I would throw them just in the hope.
Yeah.
Walking around the woods and stuff, yeah.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever make a utility belt?
No.
Because I did. I thought it was cool, and made a little utility belt that had, like, dental floss and, you know, like a cool stick.
Like a grappling hook?
Yeah, like, the idea was in case I needed rope. And then I had a little slingshot that I made and stuff like that. And I put it on this little utility belt and, like, ran around.
Yeah.
I was going to, like, fight bullies or something.
I think that my version of that was just the plethora of fanny packs we had lying around at any given time. Like, a fanny pack is just a Rob Liefeld-esque
You know? It's essentially a utility belt in and of itself. Like, if the fanny pack was around when Batman was around, like, he could pretty much just have, like, three fanny packs and be okay.
Yeah.
All that shit would fit.
Yep. So sometimes I'm laying in bed and I just look at stuff on Wikipedia. Did you know that fanny packs in South Africa are called moon bags?
No.
Yes, they're called moon bags.
Well, that sounds like it sounds like it'd be a racist joke. like it sounds like, you know, oh, except they call them moon bags because aren't they crazy?
No. Am I saying that weird? Am I saying it with hate in my heart?
No. I'm saying that it sounds like saying that like somebody could.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what they call them in Britain?
What's that?
Pussy bags. No, they don't. No, it's...
Okay, because the pussy, they use the word fanny.
Oh,
I mean, we use the word fanny.
So naughty.
Us Euro kids use fanny instead of pussy when we're talking about pussy.
Yeah, yes, us kids with all the talking about pussy that we do.
Yo, guys. Yes, I got the new Dizzy game. You guys want to play it?
What do you kids do in the back of the bus like all day? You just talk about pussy.
Will we talk about Codemasters and pussy?
Man.
Yo, girl, you look like the Super Gianna sister when she turns into a crazy punk.
Oh.
Like you in the slits, girl. Which is a band. Hey, that wasn't just me talking about a gross euphemism for fanny.
I was going to say... But is there anything more sad than those like multiple games in one kind of things, right?
They're just built to trick parents.
They are.
Like just like, well, this is a good value. You know, like they're buying a six pack of soda.
Yep.
It is a really gross side effect of games as consumer product thing, which is such a relevant argument right now, given your gamer's gate and the like. This is a product of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and your Action 52 and such.
Yeah. I was in a meeting and I had to describe to somebody why non-standard Tetris doesn't work.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when I was in elementary school, they would do, you know, fundraisers, like go out and sell these crazy marked up French bread pizzas and maybe you'll get a chance to win something. That whole racket, which is disgusting. And one of the prizes, you know, that I aimed for was this like 1001 games in one kind of like sub Tiger handheld.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, this is gonna be great. I won't have to buy another Game Boy game. It's just gonna be made in the shade. And they were all Tetris variants where they had like non-contiguous blocks, you know, blocks with like seven different things. Like, no, that doesn't work. Like,
yeah,
there's a specific reason why Tetris functions.
Well, Tetris is there's a YouTuber who did like a Tetris critique I really like about how it is a perfect game because you can't add or subtract anything to it. And I agreed with that up until new Tetris came around, which I really love, and that adds an element to Tetris, and I think it is a huge addition. But like, it is very close to being perfect, and you can't fuck around with it too much.
Yeah,
there's a huge thing for PC too, because PC always had those like 999 arcade games like discs.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that like by the time I got into computers, I was more or less buying my own stuff, so I didn't have to worry about a bunch of sad Christmases with like just, you know, Intellivision compilation after Intellivision compilation on my PC.
Yeah, they were always sold in cardboard sleeves at the front of the Office Max for like $9.99 for, you know, the greatest hits of Mattel or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. For sad Christmases.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Man.
But the Quattro games are weird though, because like they're not quite that, like they do have a weird, they're just like, most of them are ports of like weird Commodore 64 games and stuff. Yeah. Like they're not like, a lot of them are ports, you know, of just games we didn't get here, and they're all that Codemasters thing. So like Codemasters has that really weird aesthetic on the NES, like super weird music that, if you've ever noticed, like Codemaster game, they try to emulate a Commodore 64 music. And that even happens in this Dizzy game. Like the music is kind of neat. They're using that, like that really weird tremolo. It constantly, things are just kind of vibrating like that. It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm pretty into it. Same thing with, they did Micro Machines for NES, and that was like probably their, you know, most well thought of game. And that has really cool music too.
Yeah,
but it's the same thing.
I seem to remember the music looping like a little bit too aggressively.
Oh, way too aggressively.
Yeah.
Like I would say the music for that Linus Spacehead game on Quattro Adventure is straight up good, but it is way too short of a loop.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is a good song.
Like those things are not mutually exclusive. However, in terms of actually helping or hurting the gameplay, a slightly breezier loop can only help, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a flop they expected it to sell 500,000, but it only sold 125,000 because they missed the holiday rush.
Yeah. Even though, like, if I was a kid in 1990, which I was, I would not have been super excited about getting this Dizzy game. You know?
I was not a hardcore kid by any stretch of the imagination.
Is this a little bit too much?
This is just like a little bit. This is a little bit too like Rod and Todd Flanders, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. You know, man, I just got a close up look on the cover. Mm-hmm. Why is he? He's dressed up as in a pith helmet, but he's definitely wearing boxing gloves. Like the gloves don't have articulated fingers.
Is it like Strong Bad?
It's very similar. Like they're 100% boxing gloves. It's really weird.
There's a dragon right behind you, Dizzy. What are you doing?
There's a dragon right above you too. You're surrounded. There's a tiny dragon in front of you. Like you're literally surrounded by dragons, and all you're doing is holding a telescope with boxing gloves.
Gary, I just revealed that I could only see one dragon at a time.
You're monodraconic?
Yep, I'm monodraconic. Huh. There are very few foundations. I'm working to get a government grant so they can study me.
You're free money from the government.
Ooh.
Are you monodraconic?
Why does the Riddler want me to get my money?
So I can steal it, huh?
Yeah. That stick won't help you against three dragons. What I'm led to believe is three dragons. I can only assume one. But yeah. It's rapidly. Okay, so it's only one at a time. It's flickering between all three in succession.
There's 100% two dragons, and then the thing in front of him is kind of like a weird little lizard chicken thing that could be like a proto dragon, or a drake, if you will.
Is it a wyvern, Gary?
It perhaps could be a wyvern.
Ah, yes.
It could be a pseudo dragon or a fairy dragon.
Yes, count the legs. That is the only way to be sure.
Yes, one of many, many entries in the monstrous manual. This could be. Yeah. He's also sitting next to a clearly carnivorous plant.
Yep.
Which I don't care for either.
So this is a very stinky image.
Yeah, this is a terrifying situation you've set yourself up in, Dizzy.
You've gotten yourself
get out.
You've gotten yourself in trouble. I'd have no sympathy for you, Dizzy.
Yeah, just leave the stars alone, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, chill out. You'll be okay.
Be careful. I don't want you to fry.
I don't want him to either.
No.
Do you, eggs.
let's mime this vein again.
Yeah. Have you when I order eggs in a restaurant, I order them over hard, and every time I do it, I get a weird look. Like people don't accept that as a way to eat eggs for some reason.
I'm very similar. I've grown more tolerant of like a little bit of give in the yolk, but it's kind of like a steak. If you're going to a restaurant that does not specifically specialize in steak, you want to ask them to cook it just a little bit more.
Than you then would you, otherwise, because it's probably, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm a medium rare guy, but I will tell them to cook it medium, just so I get the, so I can be sure, right?
I'm in the same boat. Like, and also like a low quality steak tastes better than you're throwing some vegetables and you want on it and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're getting like a shitty steak.
Yeah.
If you're getting a good steak, like, and you actually want to taste it, you'll do it.
Yeah. You know? I'll go one higher. I've come to like scrambled eggs, but I don't like them especially runny or especially wet. So I'll say, can you give me scrambled eggs dry?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Me too.
And like even just like a little bit above and beyond that, like just the slightest, you know, it's the same look that I get when I ask, like, is there mayo on this?
Yeah.
Because I don't want any surprise mayo making its way into my life in the next 20
minutes. People are, you know, don't want to, like, because mayo is just generally like, hey, bonus mayo. Like, most people are just into it. Like, it's unusual for someone to be like, hey, I don't want any mayo in this shit.
Or like, is there any possibility that there's going to be ranch that accompanies this?
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want mayo or ranch, which, like, people assume that I'm some kind of weird alien because I don't want those things.
We should record us talking about how we like our eggs and send it as a cassette tape to Dizzy. Like just in this tone, like just like really casually, like, yeah, I like to have it, cooked a little bit harder, like really, you know, like a little scorch mark on my egg and stuff. And then just have him just like shake in terror, listening to us describe it.
Yeah. You know, I really like, when you go to like a lower, like a Waffle House and you get the eggs fried and like they kind of overcook it and it gets a little crispy on the edges, like kind of curls up. Yeah. It's good. A little bit of texture in that. That's good. Reminds me of cooking eggs when you're camping, you know?
Yeah. I like to pour a little hot sauce on those eggs.
Yeah.
there's a review on GameFAQs from Doofy Dude here. That review isn't anything great. But the name of the review is a game that's as long as Zelda and you can't save.
That is good.
The first line is, why would they make a game so long and you can't save? It doesn't even have a password feature. What was Codemaster thinking? And then just goes on to be like a really standard review after that.
Like giving provisional scores. Like if they patch in a save function, this is going to be a perfectly serviceable adventure game.
Well, also like it is a real like lack of understanding how to structure a piece of writing. Like, this isn't your thesis. Like this isn't, you know, this is the most egregious thing, but tie it into something bigger or organize the information in a way that's pleasing to the eye.
Right.
Doofy dude.
He just got impatient. He wanted to make his point. It's the only thing that stood out about the experience to him.
Well, like, tons of things stood out to him. It was just the thing he wanted to yell the most.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He got impatient. Yeah. But like, you know, the way that I would strike that and say, it seems like there's a lot of promising stuff here. However, I doubt my ability to see it all because I can't save. That's a real problem. And I think it gets in the way of you. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Sorry to give you notes, doofus.
Yeah. Doofus dude.
I'm not being condescending. I'm not calling you a doofus just for goofus.
Yeah. And just because of your name.
Yeah.
Like all due respect to somebody named Doofy Dude on the GameFAQs forum. But this is not what you should dislike the Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy about. Even though, like, there is a lot here that, like, I imagine people who listen to this, like, this could end up being another, what was the game that we did that, like, people were like, you guys should really do this for Watch Out Fireball.
Solar so Jetman?
Yeah, Solar Jetman. And we just kind of made fun of it and didn't play it very far. And was like, it was fine. Yeah. And then made goofs. And then people were like, that's not what I come to Abject Suffering for. And that's not what they said.
No. It was,
they wanted a more respectful treatment. And like, I could see somebody arguing that Dizzy probably deserves a more respectful treatment because like there is some stuff to like here.
Yeah.
But it not enough for me to get.
Yeah.
To really get into it. And I played more Dizzy than probably a lot of people have.
Yeah.
So check, yeah, weirdly enough,
check your privilege at the door.
Yeah, exactly. So get off my dick.
Yeah. But like, so you know what this reminded me of in kind of just tone, presentation, and roughly what it was asking you to do? Pac-Man 2.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Like these placid scenes where it's only vaguely implied what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except like, but way less ambitious and cool than Pac-Man 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, reminder, like, do you know what this is a pale shade of?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, this is, you know what, this is not quite as good as maybe the people who made Pac-Man 2 were vaguely inspired by the Euro, like this flavor of Euro platformer. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what do we learn this week?
We are very particular about our eggs, which I think every person has a right to be.
Yeah. A right and a duty.
Yes.
Like, you know, when someone's like, how do you want your eggs? You're not just like, surprise me. Dealer's choice.
you ever been with somebody who's like really, really adamant about like sunny side up?
No.
Yeah.
Like they're really adamant about
I like to dip my toast in it.
Oh, I've been with people who do that, but not someone who's like really adamant about it.
Apparently, so
they just answer the question.
Yes, you did answer the question.
Yeah.
No, I've been in situations where somebody had to insist on sunny side up, even though local laws and regulations have said no, you can't do that.
I had a really, and this is a sad story because it's about my mom being kind of drunk and awful at some point, but it's in the past, so like it is. But one time she got drunk and like was like. Ambushed me in the middle of the night between going to the bedroom and the bathroom to like talk to me because she was up late and lonesome and started talking to me about eggs. And somehow she was talking about a sunny side up egg, but she just kept calling it up egg and wouldn't believe that I would eat one. I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, that's not my favorite way to do it, but I've had them before. And she's like, you'd eat an up egg. You have an up egg. You're telling me you'd eat an up egg. Like, and she got really mad because, you know,
she didn't believe you.
I got no fucking clue.
It's
part of like her and I's relationship of like where I'm just like, I'm not interested enough to get to the bottom of this super cool mystery of like why I'm having this conversation. I'd prefer just go back to sleep until I can fly back home in a week.
Yeah.
So
yeah, up eggs.
Yeah, up egg. Like, what's up, egg? But yeah, like and just real like incredulous, like, you need an up egg? Like just really, you know, upset. Like I was
like
really
it was a betrayal.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Or like I was just gonna like, and then like there was a whole setup for the next day. She'd make me a sunny side up egg, and I'd be like, "You clod, I don't like this." You know, it's like I just wanted to pee and go to sleep. Jesus Christ!
I got you to believe something I didn't genuinely believe.
Yeah,
you were trolling your mom.
Yeah, yeah, that is not the case.
Oh,
but anyway, that's up eggs, and that's this episode of Abject Suffering.
Yeah. So that was suggested by Mike Farrell, who blew up the box.
Oh, yeah.
So there are very few people who just recommend one and then move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people will suggest 5 or 6, 7, maybe 10 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about Mike? Oh, he suggested a lot at a time?
Yes.
I thought you were saying that to lead in, but Mike did no less than 70 or something like that.
No, I'm just saying, I didn't count, but, like, I will just occasionally get a little bloop on my phone and I see, oh, you have 17 new messages in the Abject Suffering account. That's weird. Okay. Oh, somebody went on a tear.
It's all Mike having fun. Well, it's great.
Yeah.
Because this is an interesting game. This is the kind of stuff that we want to have recommended.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to recommend stuff like that, you can go to the Abject Suffering page, duckfeed.tv/Abject Suffering. Use the little widget and a little pop-up pops up. Mm-hmm. And you can just throw it on in there.
Yeah. We do those at random. So we appreciate everybody. If you suggest one today, we may do it tomorrow. Who knows?
Exactly. You can also help by writing reviews and ratings on iTunes and telling your friends.
Yeah. And next week, we're going to be talking about Misky. Mickey Mouse. That's been a long day, Gary. Mickey Mousecapade.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse. Another game that I've played a lot.
Okay.
As a youth. I don't know if you have experience with this one.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah. Well, good night and good luck.